Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, Uncle Ben killed Batman's parents.
Good for Hummy.
Didn't expect that. What kind of sick cucumber snuff film is this?
How do you make baby pins?
Darts in your cornhole.
Tossing your tortillas.
Ew. I'm getting too old for this space travel.
Is it too early for a funny fresh ship, fresh fish?
That's better than I could have hoped. Where the hell am I? German is a big language.
Use my baldness to my advantage.
I would gladly throw that at your head.
I don't like blowing peas.
Get the Mucinex monkey off my back.
It's not magic, Bobby. It's an illusion.
Knurling knobs with Bill.
Well-rendered fish sandwiches and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Part of the trick to entertaining unexpected guests is keeping on hand certain generally useful foods. One of these is cheese of an easy melting type, which Sally is going to use as a base for the rarebit.
I don't care. This is the Morning Stream.
Good morning and welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for June 14th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello.
Hello there. We're starting a little late today. It's a freaking internet god's fault, but we got it worked out. Everything's fine now.
Yeah, exactly. It's all fine now and
everything's
just
fine.
Just as the show started, I got the results from my latest DALL-E entry.
Oh, is it? Did you put this anywhere? I want to see it.
I will put it somewhere. My search subject was Baby Spice dressed as a cucumber.
Perfect.
And I'll copy and paste it into our Discord, and you can share it with.
Excellent, boy.
The audience. I'll probably also put this on Twitter because, boy, howdy.
Oh, geez. Okay, this is a good one. Here, chat, check it out.
This is
gnarly.
There's some nightmare fuel going on here.
Yep. Oh yeah. This is what this thing's good at. If you're at home listening, I can only describe this as horrifying.
I don't think any of these are Baby Spice, first of all.
No, the one at the bottom center kind of looks like her.
Maybe, yeah.
A little bit. The one on the baby to the right is just a baby.
It's just a baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Dressed as a cute
But I think there's like a, I can't tell, down by that baby's hand is maybe like a pepper, which is maybe the spice thing getting thrown in there.
Oh, could be. That's an interesting thought. I didn't even think about that, that it's like, oh, now how do I get the word spice in here?
Exactly.
I think one of these might be Gwen Stefani.
Like the center square here, or even bottom left.
Or top right. Top right could be Gwen Stefani.
Oh, that could be, yeah. The one in the center top, that's, I hate that.
that is Silence of the Lambs is what we're looking at right there. That's
really
how Hannibal Lecter got out of that little jail cell inside the high school auditorium where he was being held.
Yeah, there's something about the lighting there. Just don't like
it. Yeah, it's like the snuff film where somebody kills a cucumber.
If you guys haven't messed with this tool, it's really weird. It's really freaking weird. I can't wait to see what the new one does, because the new one's supposed to be insane. But it's all the rage right now. Everybody's making these stupid things. And what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? It's just so bizarre.
It
hey,
is
Scott,
bizarre.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine. I'm good. You sound great. You sound like you're just fully recovered is what you sound like.
This is the first morning I have not taken Mucinex in a whole week.
Yeah.
So I'm a little congested, like a little bit on the side, but not enough to where I felt like I wanted to take Mucinex to get me through. I'm going cold turkey, Scott. I'm kicking the Mucinex habit.
Oh, you're kicking the Mucinex habit? Oh, my gosh.
I'm getting this Mucinex monkey off my back, finally. After
you're going to get the Mucinex DTs or whatever.
that's right, yes.
I don't. Probably nothing will happen. You'll probably be just fine, is my guess.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably, and I'd say I'm maybe at, if my normal living state is 100%, then I feel like I'm probably at 85.
That's pretty good.
Pretty darn close, getting up there. I did get on the bike yesterday, did a 5-mile ride just to get myself back.
Yeah. So you're first since since you were down?
First since the start, first in a week, or first since Tuesday last week.
Damn.
Today is Puzzle Pint Day.
Oh.
So I'm going to ride down to the brewery that is next door to Casa Bonita.
Ah. Is it open yet? They redone the thing?
No, still working on it. They're still.
But they're working on it. You can see like stuff going on when you go by there, and there's like
I never go by there, so I don't know. But I will know tonight. I'll be able to tell. I shouldn't be able to tell because the outside should remain untouched. If everybody has their way, it'll still be a weird pink building in the middle of the city that seems so freaking out of place that it shouldn't, it's a thing that should not be.
It just seems like the South Park guys, they would be interested in keeping that alive, right?
I think so. Yeah. They would absolutely maintain the integrity of the exterior while improving the, really just the food of the interior. Everything else about the interior, I think, also needs to be maintained.
Right. It's just the food.
Acapulco Cliff Divers, Black Bart's Cave.
Sure. All that stuff. No one's complaining about that. It's the food. No. Fix the food.
Fix the food.
Yeah.
Fix the food.
Have some actual decent food on your menu. How about that?
Yeah.
Except for your sopapillas, which you always tell me are good there.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Dude, what a day to not have Steven Schleicher this morning.
Yeah.
We got the news that Lady Gaga is in early talks to play Harley Quinn opposite Joaquin Phoenix in the Joker sequel, yeah. Which will be a musical.
Yeah, what is that real? Someone's yanking my chode on that, right? It can't
this
be real.
This is the Hollywood Reporter is the one that's reporting this. If this was anybody else.
I cannot get my head around this. There must be like... in his head, and he's weird, and he's having a dream, and in the dream she's involved, yeah. And it's a musical in his dream or something. It can't be.
I love this idea though. All right, Gaga's Harley Quinn. It's a musical. I mean, what else?
What else do you want? What else can you get?
What else do you want? Yeah. So obviously, we're now we're outside the regular DC extended universe. We kind of knew that, right? Since it's a different actor playing Joker and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I assume. Yeah, you're not gonna bring Margot Robbie over for this. She'd do something weird, and
right. Well, plus we see at the end of Joker. Spoiler alert! At the end of Joker, we do see the altercation in the alley behind the theater, and which means that this takes place. Oh, have you not seen Joker? Are you kidding
me? I've seen Joker, but I don't remember this part about the alleyway. What remind me?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, Why don't I remember?
You see the Waynes getting accosted at the end of Joker.
But is he there doing it?
No. Okay. No, Joker is in a taxi cab.
Okay.
Or in a police car or something like a.
So they're not doing this Jack Nicholson timeline where he's the guy who shot him in the thing, because I always hated that, because it was never in the comics. It was never a thing where the Joker shot Batman's parents.
No, it absolutely, yeah, exactly. It's like all of a sudden saying, hey, the Rhino killed Spider-Man's Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And that's why those two have a thing.
Yeah. My memory of Joker, the movie, is slow descent to madness, shoots Robert De Niro in the face, dances around on the street for a while. Those are my memories. Oh, and the steps.
Dances down the staircase.
Yeah, he goes down the staircase dancing, wearing kind of a purple thing. I really liked it, but I don't remember all the details, I guess.
I remember I only saw the movie once. Really, really enjoyed it. I don't know why I haven't watched it a second time, but I really, really enjoyed it.
See, that's what I should do. I should watch it again, and then I would remember, oh, right, there's a scene at the end where we see the alleyway business.
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole clown buddies that he has to deal with, and the little person clown friend of his is like his only friend in the world that he kind of...
Yeah, it's good stuff, yeah. Though. I'm you know...
Hold on, Dice Tomato. There was no retcon that Sandman killed Uncle Ben. Are you talking about, you're talking about in the, not in the Spider-Man movies, the Sam Raimi movies, are you? Wasn't there something, Sandman there was killed, some connection that...
Wait, that had killed Batman's parents?
No, that's, no, that killed Uncle Ben.
Oh, Uncle Ben. Hold on.
Why does that sound familiar?
Yeah, why is that familiar?
It was Spider-Man 3, yeah, okay.
But Spider-Man 3, That was Sandman with the mask that shot Uncle Ben. Oh, right. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. Because it wasn't. It was like a goofy rooster-haired looking kid.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even in the same. You did an out-of-universe thing in your universe, Sam Raimi. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Wow, 3. What an embarrassment. 3.
Really was an embarrassment. That's what they needed to have with the No Way Home was Tobey Maguire saying, oh, thank God I'm in your universe, because holy crap, my universe went to shit.
That 70
started
show
out
kid
with so much promise.
Yeah, and then, worked out well until, I mean, I guess they kept the best parts, the Doc Ock from 2, and you got I like Sandman as a character. He was the best thing of 3, except for the part where he shot Uncle Ben. But
yeah, which apparently a lot of us had blocked out.
Yeah, I forgot because it's dumb and terrible. So I forgot. Well, anyway.
Anyway,
Hey, I did a fun thing yesterday. So I've been telling you about this V Rising game, the vampire survival game. It's really fun and totally scratches about 13 inches I have in gaming. But the best part was yesterday. I'd forgotten we did this for our core patrons. We opened it up so that they could be on our server, and they all have to have this like secret password and all that. Anyway, so we're on there playing. And I had to take down this guy called Nicholas the Haunted or the Undaunted or the whatever. He's a huge douche who's down in this graveyard that is really hard to kill. And I need to kill him because I need to get this recipe for a thing I don't have. And he's the only way I can get it. So I go down there and I go like, I don't know, 7 tries, dead. Run, corpse run, get my stuff, dead, keep dying. It just sucks. So I'm finally like, wait, we have other people on here. I'm going to like do kind of an MMO thing where you're wanting to do like a world boss or something. I'm going to say, hey, anyone want to help me take on Nicholas the Butthole?
In. Yeah, no kidding.
Nicholas the Douchebag. And they all said, sure. And Tezzeret was one. I can't remember the other guys' names. Anyway, these guys all flocked down there, took the guy down. No problem.
Nice.
Sucked all his V blood.
You crowdsourced your boss.
That's right. Damn it. And it was great. I just love that game. V Rising rocks with listeners even better. It's very good. We were talking about Star Wars the other day, and somebody had a reply about this.
Okay.
The person that wrote in's name is Luke, and he says, "Dear Sith and Bacta."
Right. I like that. Okay, good.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
I've heard Scott mention this a couple of times recently. Rogue One is the only new Star Wars movie that tried anything new, and that thought kills me. Keep in mind that I also like Rogue One as you read the following. All right, here we go. The Last Jedi tried all kinds of things. New to Star Wars writer and director Rian Johnson tried, quote, or here's your list. Supposing that the Jedi Order was an outright failure and Luke is driving the anti-Jedi train. Okay, sure. What if the universe doesn't revolve around the Skywalkers and the Jedi? Maybe we should try new things and not rely on our elders, and maybe Kylo, the bad guy, has some really good ideas. It's number 3. Does he really, though? Uh-huh.
It's a weird, I like the way it's phrased, because it sounds like, you know, maybe the opponent isn't all bad. Maybe they've got some really good ideas.
Yeah, maybe you know,
maybe
Hitler,
Thanos has some, maybe there's something to this Thanos thing.
Yeah, this
50%
thing, maybe Hitler had a couple of bright ideas. You know, like, you could take that anywhere, I suppose.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, I do agree with that point.
He says, the reason you don't remember any of these is because J.J. took over the episode 9 and undid all the amazing potential that Johnson had fostered. The Last Jedi, much like Empire Strikes Back, was 1, an awesome movie. 2, laid down some track that could have made for an incredible 3rd movie. But, sad trombone, episode 9 starts with the dead speak and the Palpatine is back and Rey is Skywalker and same old story. and is rightfully forgotten by most. Overall, it's a bummer, but I'll stick up for The Last Jedi any day. Love the show, though. Luke. All right, Luke, here's where I will agree with you. It did have a different tone. And there was a lot of hate for it at the time, but I liked Last Jedi. The only thing I really liked about it, though, honestly, at the end of the day, was that cool planet of like red salt. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have a lot of love for that, for the new trilogy. It's fine. It plays out. It's a thing. You can see it. You have a fun time at the theater. Woohoo. Yippee-hoo. I like Rey as a character. Like, there's things I like about it, but it just doesn't scratch my itches at all. I like the Rogue One. Just that's how it is. Yeah. And Solo may as well be a weird like Christmas special. I can't get into that very much. I thought Solo was kind of bad.
Maybe I need to see Solo again. I thought for an action movie it was fun, and the Danny Glover casting as Lando, brilliant, but I think I need that's really all I remember about it. And that damn how many of you are flying? Just me.
Yeah.
What's your last name?
Solo. Gosh dang it, dude. I could go back in time.
There's some character origins that you don't need to explain. You don't need to.
Even if you did, why does it have to be that?
I'm sorry, Donald Glover. I'm getting too old for this shit, TV's Travis.
What'd you say?
I said Danny Glover.
Oh, Danny Glover. I should have gotten it from the too old for this shit. That's funny.
Oh, is it like Boba?
Boba? Boba Fett? Boba Fett? Anyway, Solo sucked. I don't care, Benjamin, what you say. Let's fight. All right.
Yes, I meant Donald Glover.
It was inspired casting, but just wasted in a movie that's just kind of, I don't know. It had problems. Problems. Yeah. Problems were had. Yeah. All right, Brian, we're going to do something fun.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fun. I'm up for fun. Let's have some fun.
Let's look at this here. Wayne, I got to play the damn thing for it. Here we go.
Take this. It's for you. It's food.
Okay, right here in our hands is a bag of Funny Frish Chip Frish.
Funny Frish Chip Frish.
With the ungarnish at the bottom. I don't know what that means. I can tell these are chips, and I can tell that there's a pepper on there. And these were sent to us by a listener. Let's see.
Does this come with German? Does my Google Translate come with German free? It does come with German free.
I assume so. Yeah. That's a big language. They got to support that one.
It's a big language.
Yeah. That's one they should probably do. Now, Wurtengabin.
So funny Frisch is translates in English to funny fresh.
Okay. Great.
So that means chips is crispy fresh.
Yeah.
Or chips fresh.
Yeah.
And then the word Ungarisch is Hungarian. So it is just Hungarian flavored best potatoes, pure sunflower oil, unique and spice recipes.
It looks like it's both. Maybe these are Hungarian. It's German and Hungarian all the way through. On the back, there's two different ingredient lists. One is German. One is, I think, Hungarian. Ingredients. Patatas fritas
is Spanish.
Oh, is that Spanish?
Ingredientes, patatas.
Oh, yeah.
Although papas is, let's see what language that is. It's not Hungarian, that I can tell you.
Well, I am going to read these. I'm going to read these ingredients in German. Are you ready? Here we go.
Oh, patatas fritas. What is that? Yeah.
Zutaten, Kartoffeln, Sonnenblumenöl, Oma Spiegatz, Hewerkestätt, in der Haltgürzt, Paprika Pulver Zucker, Zawiba Pulver, Kabucha La Pulver, Farblaufstoff, Racha Roma, Gewürzenstockt, und Skrudes and Marzipar wegpackt. There you go.
Nice. Excellent.
Yep. I did a good job.
So it's translating. It's not telling me what language. I've got detect language, and it's not saying what language it is.
Well, then we shouldn't feel nervous about eating these at all, then. I'm sure that they're 100% okay. And
I'm totally okay.
So they came actually, I think, via out of Vegas somewhere. Who's the listener? Do we have their name?
Oh, yes, Dominic. Dominic is the person who sent
Okay, Dominic, giving you credit for this here, bud. All right, here we go.
All right.
Oh, all right, let's take a smell. Oh, they smell fine.
It smells like barbecue chips, basically.
Yeah.
It probably tastes like goulash, is my guess.
Let's give it a shot. There's a pepper on there. I assume they're meant to be spicy, maybe? I don't know.
No, that's like a bell pepper.
All right, let's see. Well, these are good.
They're good, but
I like them. You like them? No,
I like them a lot, but they're. I mean, if you put those in a bowl and told me they were Lay's barbecue chips, I'd say okay, yeah.
You know what? You are right. Hold on, let's get a little aftertaste here. Yeah. No, Brian's right. These are Lay's barbecue. Congratulations, Germany. You duplicated a common American chip. Or maybe we duplicated
no
yours.
No hint of paprika. Not at all. Like, you know, and I know paprika. I grew up with a Hungarian grandmother that coated everything in that lovely red dust. But
every time I hear paprika, I think of the anime, which is weird because I don't really like anime that much. But there's an animated movie called Paprika, and it's weird as hell.
Huh.
And people should watch it. I mean, it'll freak you out.
Okay.
And there's boobs in it. All right. Moving on.
Well, you had me at boobs.
Indeed. So we got a note from our good friend Gwen. She's in the chat now. Provider of all things TMST, the teas that we do here. Also, the
Dungeons. We need to get the hookup on some Ship's Phasers Earl Grey.
For sure. But check this out. She says that she wanted... Here, I'll just read what she said. Hey, y'all, just wondering if you could throw out a shout out to my former home of Red Lodge. A quarter of it is underwater right now. The entire country has had awful flooding, power out, water's out. No idea when there will be back on. It's a rough situation. I know there are a few listeners of yours in town. If you have time, it would mean a lot to me to mention it. Well, that's, of course, we'll mention it.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't realize. So I'd heard Kim was reading something off her phone yesterday going, do you hear what's going on in Yellowstone? I said, no. And she described the flooding and the just stuff that, you know, the power outage and all the stuff that was going on in Yellowstone, which is currently closed and a total mess. And I forgot entirely that Red Lodge is like right near there.
Right by there. Yeah, we saw a video yesterday of Yellowstone and the river just basically eroding the roads away, like the flood eroding the roads away. So this is going to be more than just a, all right, we're closed for the weekend. We'll be back open on Monday. It's going to be quite a while for them to get roads back built in there and places that people are able to go.
Yeah, and if you guys have never seen Red Lodge, I'm putting a picture up on the chat here. This is... It reminds me of Park City or probably any number of towns in Colorado. It's like this beautiful mountain town with like this amazing old timey looking main street, mountains just like immediately in the background. It's really beautiful.
Oh.
Anyway, I hope they recover quickly. That sucks. Sucks big time. Oh, Gwen's in the chat, I think.
Yeah, she says that it's the only road to the Stillwater Mine. The largest employer of that area is completely ruined. Miners are trapped there. Holy cow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Jeez.
Oof.
I'd hoped everybody was at least out. It sounds like maybe not. Mm-hmm. So I always had this question. Yellowstone's like a pretty massive tourist draw, and it's a, you know, it's a national park and all that.
Yeah.
Do people live there? Like, in the park? Or is it...
I imagine there's probably...
Got to
There's
be somebody
probably rangers
there.
That live there or that have... Oh, yeah. Glenn says, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Some rangers and stuff live there. Yeah, makes sense.
But it's not like there's not like a whole town in there. It would be more like surrounding towns like...
Right. Like Estes Park, like outside of Rocky Mountain National Park. There are rangers that live in Rocky Mountain National Park, but then most of the people who work there or who live outside of there in Estes Park.
I gotcha. Okay. Oh, and chat, another good example, Sicily, Alaska. Yeah, these kinds of little towns. I love those things. Well, that sucks, and I hope they get out soon and that's taken care of, because what was it from? That massive rain that came through the whole Intermountain West was pretty bad. I'm guessing that was part of this.
Probably, yeah.
Because we got soaked, but it wasn't like, you know, flooding soaked. I think we caught the tail end of whatever the heck that was. So anyway, our thoughts to all those people, and thank you, Gwen, for bringing it to our attention, and I hope you and yours are all doing okay. All right. Well, geez, that's about as far as that'll go. Let's do some news.
Sounds good.
Hey, Brian, how about some news brought to you by?
Brought to you by the delightful combination of crackers and kimchi.
Now, hear me out for a second, okay? So I thought, we got these pretzel crackers that we like here at the house. We're fans of the pretzel cracker.
Yeah.
And there's
they're the ones of which you speak. They're like, they look like little flattened, crispy, dried out pretzels.
Yeah, and they're great for like cheese balls and, you know.
Yeah, they're great all for hummus kind of too.
Oh, hummy. They're good for hummy.
Good for hummy.
They're good for hummus. They're good for all sorts of stuff. But what I didn't know is how good they are for kimchi. So here's what I did. I got a big bag of those from Costco. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling a little peckish, not starving, but just a little something to get me by. So I made a little plate. And on the plate, I put like, I don't know, 6-7 of these flattened pretzel cracker things. Mm-hmm. A little salt on them and all that. These aren't flavored. They're just the standard ones. And got some fresh kimchi from the Asian market a couple of days ago. And you take that out in big slabs of the stuff and you put it on those crackers and then you just eat them like an hors d'oeuvre. Oh, they're so good.
That sounds good. That does sound good.
It's good for your guts too. So highly recommend. Let's move to this story here. A British man throws a tortilla more than 90 feet, thus getting the Guinness World Record for tortilla toss.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Brian, I don't know if you've been wanting to compete in the area of tortilla tossing, but...
I've been wanting to... I would like to put my mark in the Guinness Book of World Records someday. And maybe this is my chance. Maybe I can huck a tortilla. It feels like there's a lot of luck, right? Like, there's no rim to the tortilla. It's like throwing a record.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all done that where we threw a record like a frisbee and it goes
and
flips around and
right yeah, we've all done it, but have we successfully done it for 90 feet? The answer is no. I have not
feet, no was he able to? All right, is this a burrito sized tortilla? Is it a taco sized tortilla, soft taco sized tortilla?
Well, it doesn't
tell me some information.
So here's what it is. David Rush is his name. Let's see if I can find this here on that size. I don't know if they have it here. I assume it's just a standard tortilla. Let's find out. All right. Oliver Miles told Guinness Book World Records he decided to do it. Oh, this is the guy that took the title from this David Rush guy. Anyway, he wanted to attempt the world record after watching a YouTube video while COVID was had everybody in lockdown. Quote, attempting this gave me something to focus on during the lockdown, which really helped my mental health, and actually break the world record will really prove these efforts weren't in vain, he told the Guinness people. He managed a distance of 90 feet, 11 inches. It's a funny feeling. It's a super silly world record. I can't believe I'm the person who can throw a tortilla the furthest in the world. The said the record stood at 30 feet, 1 inch when he originally decided to break the record.
Wow.
But that was busted in the meantime by this David Rush guy who did it for 54.5 inches. Mm-hmm. Rush's mark was again beaten before Miles had a chance to take top spot. So somebody else even did it. Doesn't say. Wow. I assume it's the standard ass freaking flour tortillas you buy at the store. They don't get into it.
Yeah, but just doesn't say, you know, I mean, it could be corn tortillas, and we don't know if they're...
they're more dense. You could throw that further, probably, and they're smaller, less resistant.
You could definitely throw the flour further than the corn, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless the corn's smaller, because the corns are smaller, right, usually?
Corns are smaller, so I don't know if that cuts down on... wind resistance, friction, drag.
Yeah, that's why. See, okay. Number one, it doesn't surprise me at all that you said you would like to have a Guinness book entry before you die. Okay, because that seems like something Brian Ibbett would want to do. What do you think it'll end up being in? Like, should we have Jamie right now start counting up the total minutes of podcasting that we've done on TMS, you know, just TMS, and then Coverville, and then, like, maybe we've already broken a record.
We have, because we talked about this before. Like, there was somebody, and maybe it was Adam Curry. It was one of these people that literally does like a 2 or 3 hour show every day.
Yeah, who's doing that? Is he doing that?
Don and Drew were doing some long. They were doing shows almost on the daily, and it was like, you know, 2 hour plus shows.
I think we've caught up with them now, though. Had to have nap by now because they're not doing
possibly
that now.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I'd love to find out. I'm just curious, like, is there an entry for that already, and like, who has it? And if not, are we even in the running? It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, what skill do I have that I could use, that I could harness to turn into a Guinness World Record?
Yeah.
Is it like most useless facts of music trivia spouted off in a 1 minute...
I don't know. I mean, almost anything can count if you can demonstrate the process, right? Isn't that how it works? It's like,
right, because you can make up a thing and say, did this the longest or the most or the fastest or whatever, and if there's not already an entry for it, how do they decide, like, that's really a dumb entry? Like, I can tie the most T-shirts into a knot in 11 minutes.
And the thing is, I think some of this stuff, like, here, let's look at the dumbest, or no, let's say the strangest Guinness
records. Oh, that's one we need to find, right? Yeah. One of the dumb ones that they've allowed in that somebody thought, well, no one's ever going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it just to get my name in there. And then I'm going to do it 1 minute faster and boot them out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here you go. Well, not that you want to do this one, but here's one. Fastest time to crush 3 watermelons with your thighs. That's an actual entry.
Okay, all right. Oh, geez. Yeah, that feels like...
It's pretty nuts. This. Oh, by the way, the record for the...
We watched a video of this woman. It's a woman, right?
Yeah, kind of having a... Oh, yeah, Olga Listichuk in Milan, Italy did it.
Yes, we watched a video of her, and what she's more dropping on them than she's crushing them with her, like crushing them with her legs.
I don't remember. You know? Well, the record says 14.65 seconds. That's about how long that video was, if I remember.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Most straws stuffed in mouth with hands off. I don't know what that means. Oh, without holding them in.
Okay, so basically, like, how many straws can I fit into my mouth?
Yeah, and then stand there with them in your mouth for some period of time, and then that's the record. It's 400 currently, achieved by Simon Elmore, who did it for 10 seconds in Germany back 10 years ago.
I could beat that. Can they be those little coffee stirring straws that you get at diners?
Probably, because then
you're not going to drink a Coke out of?
It's probably a different, not category, but it's a different listing. Like, you would hold the record
for
that.
So I can't choose the straw. I can't say, give me those little teeny tiny straws
Exactly. Oh, here's one for you. Farthest marshmallow nose blow. They put a marshmallow up their nose and then hork it as far as they can go. That's cool.
I could do that. Like a little miniature marshmallow?
Yeah. How about most toilet seats broken using your head in 1 minute? That's a fun one.
Jeez, nope. Skip that one. We'll do.
All right. How about this one?
I feel like just the training would do me in, Scott.
All right. How about the most clothing pegs? You know, the kind you hang your stuff out to dry. What are those called? Yeah. Clothespins. The most clothespins clipped to your face in 1 minute.
What's the record?
51. Could you beat that?
51.
Also an Italian person. I don't know why.
Man. Are they the little scissory, like not the old style ones where it's just it's like the letter pi.
Right.
It's the one with the spring in it, right?
Right, the one with the spring in it, the pinchy ones. It would hurt.
The pinchy ones.
Yeah.
51?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'd need to have I feel like my facial skin is too thick for that.
And you're not loose enough. You need some loose skin.
Yeah,
I
need to have some really loose, thin skin.
Yeah, let's give us another 10 years. Maybe we'll be there.
Okay.
How about fastest marathon dressed as a vegetable?
Fastest marathon dressed as a vegetable. What's the record?
So the record is 2 hours, 59 minutes, 33 seconds.
I think we looked at that video on Dally this morning.
Let's see.
I know marathon already is like...
I'm trying to find a good one. Most spoons balanced on the face. 31? How'd you do that? Oh, all at once? Wow.
Is it? Oh, are they doing that thing where it's like, and then they like cup? Yeah, okay.
No, yeah. Skip 31 though? Jeez.
31's a lot. You'd have to have a really big face for that. Is there something where my baldness, like where I could use my baldness to some advantage?
Oh, let's see. Largest bubblegum bubble? No, you don't have to be bald to do that.
What about, is there any like most number of suction cup darts stuck to head?
I mean, that's not bad. What about those darts? Yeah, the ones you toss across the room, kind of like cornhole, except they're darts and they're rubber and they have two ends that'll stick. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? I would gladly throw those at your head. That'd be fine.
It seems I don't want them thrown at me.
How about heaviest weight lifted by a human beard? You'd have to grow your beard out, but
yeah, no, that's something that I don't want anything that like pain might be involved and pulling that much weight up being pulled on my my chin.
All right, one more here. How about? Oh, this is crazy. Is this real? All right, the most rotations hanging from a power drill.
Oh.
So before it breaks or stops, you'd have to be small to get that record.
What's the number? What's the number of rotations?
148. Achieved by the Hui Giang on the set of the Guinness World Records in Madrid, Spain in 2008.
So as I understand this, they've got a power drill mounted up high with the drill pointing down. They've affixed something to the drill head that is attached maybe to their feet.
Yeah, or your head could be.
Or their head, or right, a little harness.
Yeah, and then they spin as long as they can spin. Feels like that's more to do with the drill than you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
How's the torque on your drill? How's your battery?
And why would that ever stop? Like, you know, couldn't I just sit perfectly still and let the drill do all the work and say 148, 149, 150, 151?
That must be why this is their number one weird one. They have
that is a damn weird one.
How about blowing a pee? Here's what it says. Farthest distance to blow a pee. You do it with your mouth. So you get a raw pee, like a you know, from a pot of peas. You take a pee and go as hard as you can, as far as you can. Germany.
I think I'm liking the marshmallow nose toss a little bit more.
Yeah, that's more fun to watch. All right, Brian, lock in on your plan for your marshmallow.
All right, and, all right, you're gonna go buy a bag of miniature marshmallows and a yardstick and see where I got what I got.
That's perfect. All right, here's a story for all you fans, I guess, of Willy Wonka. Two M&M factory workers were rescued after falling into a giant chocolate tank. Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah, they just took a biff right into the chocolate tank. Two workers of the M&M.
It'd be great if this is the origin story for the talking M&Ms. Like, hey, this is how we ended up like this.
Yeah, I guess this is... I don't get it. Hey, fun side fact about that. That red M&M was played by both Billy West and John Lovitz at one point.
Oh, I totally believe that. Yeah, John, I absolutely can hear both of their voices in that. Who did the dopey?
I think that was at one time John Goodman, but I think it also could have been someone else. I don't think it was ever. I always think of Patrick Warburton, but I don't think that's him.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's ever. Yeah, all right, okay, hold on. Now I gotta know.
Now we gotta know. Now we gotta know.
Let's Yellow Simmons, voiced by J. Or, I'm sorry, Yellow, voiced by J.K. Simmons and one other. Hold on a second.
Yellow Simmons.
Yellow Simmons.
That's funny.
Yellow Simmons.
I love Yellow Simmons. Parker. I'm Yellow. Parker.
Let's see here. Yellow, voiced by J.K. Simmons and one other. Who else is the one other? John Goodman. So John Goodman and J.K. Simmons.
Oh, I did not know.
So J.K. Simmons doing that like, yeah, I don't know. It looks like an envelope.
Does he just do everything? Is he just like...
The dude has such an incredible... listen, J.K. Simmons and Giancarlo Esposito have the best agents in Hollywood.
They really do. It's so odd to me. Like when I first... Yeah. J.K. Simmons' first exposure for me was Law & Order way back in the day. He played he was the go-to for this district attorney would go to for psychology stuff. He was a psychology expert and would come and speak on, you know, behalf or against whoever was on trial. And... At the time, I meant, oh, he's an interesting guy. I didn't really think much about it. It just seemed like a bit part on a show. But then suddenly he was in everything, always, forever. And here we are now where everyone loves J.K. Simmons. And they should, rightly so. The guy's awesome.
Oh, they should absolutely love him. Did you ever see Whiplash, by the way?
I never saw Whiplash.
Oh,
should
dude.
See it.
Please, please.
It's like the ultimate J.K. Simmons, right?
It is one of the greatest J.K. Simmons roles. And you are angry at him and you respect him and you hate him. And it's like, it's an amazing character that he's able to pull off that you kind of like, oh God, I see why he's doing what he's doing, but man,
how's it stack up to Cave Johnson from the Portal games? Cause I love that character.
Boy, they're like neck and neck really. unfortunately.
Yeah. I love that character, but again, he's just great. So I hear he's in a thing and I go, oh, I get more interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Go watch. I don't know if it's streaming right now. Whiplash.
But, okay. We could find out.
And then that kid is in it. Miles Teller, who's not streaming, by the way.
Damn it.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
All the things I want to watch are not streaming.
I'm looking at a list of like who does all the voices for the other M&Ms.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people I recognize. And all of a sudden they veer off into Martin the Geico Gecko and the Hump Day Camel and that sort of thing. But they say Orange is voiced by Eric Kirschberger.
I don't know.
Eric Kirschberger.
Who's that guy?
I don't know, but I could have sworn that it was Patton Oswalt. I think something is incorrect because I absolutely remember.
Could have been a one-off or something.
Yeah.
Was the green M&M the girl? Was she ever anybody famous?
No, it's somebody named Cree Summer or Larissa Murray.
Okay.
And I don't recognize either of those names.
Yeah, those names are not familiar to me. I always thought, for some reason, my head always goes to Paula Abdul. Does that make any sense?
No.
None. There's no none. Sense
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
None. Oh, wait. BB Newworth did it for a minute, someone says in the chat. Is that true?
Oh, really? I believe that.
Okay. Yeah, somebody
says this website I'm looking at is horrible.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Turns out the internet is.
Oh, we did see Larissa Murray in the movie Reign of Fire, apparently.
Oh, well, we haven't done Reign of Fire yet, but we're gonna. Oh no,
we have
Reign
not
of Fire.
Seen
sorry,
Larissa
sorry.
Murray in the film Reign of Fire.
I'm sorry, we've seen Reign of Fire. We haven't seen. What's the one where the aliens come get him and the T-1000's in it? Rain or fire from above, fire from on high.
Oh,
fire up there, fire
down below. No, fire up above.
Above fire. What is it, Chad? Fire in the sky.
Fire in the sky.
Close enough. But that's the one I was thinking you meant. But no,
gotcha.
I was wrong.
Yeah, looking, this Larissa Murray does a lot of voice work. So maybe she was a female dragon in Reign of Fire or something. I don't remember any other dragon voices in that one, but
yeah, there were no. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of screeching and they didn't talk.
Yeah,
I like that movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so
are those guys
fell,
okay? By the way, the
yeah,
guys who fell into
they're
the,
okay. They took him to a hospital to be safe. They got them all showered up. They're good. They took him to the hospital to be safe. Everything's fine. They didn't take a bunch of chocolate into their spleen or anything. They're okay.
Good.
So, well,
it's a good thing we weren't responsible for saving them, Scott, because then we watched them fall in, and then we would have been like, wouldn't it be funny if this is the origin story of the talking M&M guys? Hey, who does the voice of that M&M?
Hey, at least you remember what got us on this track, because I couldn't remember how we did. I have no memory of it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, spend a little time with our old pal Bill, you know? Bill's pretty great. I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks because we didn't have a show last Wednesday or Tuesday. So we're going to do that today. That'll all be coming up here shortly. But first, a song from the vast library of Brian Ibbett.
Yeah. How about some ska, man? We haven't had ska in a while. And this is a brand new EP. You can hear the whole thing right now, courtesy of Wiretap Records. These guys are favorites of mine. I love Wiretap Records. They have a brand new EP from this band called Codename Rocky. This is right up the alley of all of the other indie ska punk bands that you know and love. These guys are from Southern California, which is, you know, of course, if you're going to be a ska punk band, you gotta be from, you know.
Yeah, that would surprise me if
Van
they're
Van Nuys or Pico Rivera.
Yeah,
or,
if they're not from
Sacramento,
there, I don't believe. Sacramento. I don't even believe them if they're not from there. That's
right.
Where they have to be
from.
From
Reseda. They've got to be from Reseda.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the brand new EP called Blueprint. Here's Codename Rocky and Post Prescriptions.
Concentrating, molecular divide. Far apart is how we tend to grow. madly jaded for reasons unknown. A dire diagnosis, we're going down in flames, way beyond a warning shot now. As our boat capsizes, all of us to blame. Like a posthumous prognosis, nothing left to say.
The basis will be rye bread, Mother's idea. She found that the spicy caraway flavor made a good contrast to the bland fish and cheese.
The Morning Stream. They sleeps in the raw with their ma and pa.
We're back, everybody. Hey, who's that again? That ska band there?
Yeah, that was a band called Codename Rocky from their brand new EP entitled Blueprint. It's for an EP, it's got a ton of tracks, so it's almost it feels like an LP in an EP's body. The song is called Post Prescriptions.
Nice. Go check it out. I like ska. I don't hear enough of it, I don't think.
Yeah,
feel like I want to do more ska in my life.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bill Duran joining us all the way from the home of punishprops.com, a place of creativity and amazing output. It's also a great YouTube channel and a fun little shop where Bill does his stuff. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hello. You know, I was in a ska band in college, right?
No.
We do know that.
I didn't know that. Did you say this before and I just forgot? You probably did.
Probably a long time ago.
What was the name of this band?
It was called the Joystick Generation.
Oh, my Lord.
And we played almost exclusively Real Big Fish covers.
That's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say.
Real Big Fish was covering somebody else. Would you cover their cover of another?
Absolutely. Right?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm doing a Hungry Like the Wolf by Real Big Fish covering Duran.
Fantastic.
Right, I love it. Oh, that's so good.
That's really great. Do you have any old recordings or anything that we could ever share on the show of you doing this?
Yeah, I do.
I think maybe
it's time.
What did you what was your band or job in the band? Were you singing? Were you playing?
I played guitar and I sang.
Didn't know this.
Yeah.
Do you still have the urge these days to pick it up?
I do. I just bought a guitar last year. I've been playing it recently.
Really? I didn't know you're a little troubadour guy. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. All right. Well, learn something new about our friends every day. Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, it's good to have you back. We're going to talk about whatever creative endeavor you're working on right now to try and inspire makers who listen to the show to go make their own stuff. What do you got going?
I wanted to teach everyone about a neat technique, a thing I like, one of my favorite things to do on my lathe called knurling. Do you know what a knurl is?
No.
Knurling.
They're like third generation Pokemon. Yeah.
K-N-U-R-L-ing, right?
That's right.
Oh, so, yeah, what is it? Yeah.
So you've got like probably a sound level machine. What are those called?
Mixer?
A mixer?
A mixer, there we go.
I have a Miami sound level machine. That's my...
The knobs on it have a texture, right? To make them more grippy.
Right, little ribs for my pleasure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. Those ribs are knurls.
Oh. So knurling is using those to knurl something, I guess.
Yeah, adding a texture to something, usually a cylinder, to make it more grippy. Okay. So you'll see this in a lot of mechanical things, a lot of knobs. Like my camera has a bunch of different knurls on it.
Yeah.
These are pretty.
I hate trying to turn knobs that don't have knurls.
I know.
Yeah, right? They just slip. They just slip.
It's like I have no control over them. Yeah.
So I got a new tool for my lathe that came with a new knurl. So I've been playing with knurls. I've been kind of learning a little bit more about it, and I thought I'd share.
Okay.
Because it's the sort of thing that once you know about it, you look around the world, you see them everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen. My dad used to have something that was like a roller with a handle, and then, you know, think of a. Oh my gosh, I can't think of another example of what this is, but basically on an axle on the end of this roller was, I guess, a knurl. It was like a textured thing, and you would use it to, like, I don't know what he used it for, actually. He rubbed it on something.
Mm.
Don't know what.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So the way these work, I'm dropping a quick video clip in the chat there. The way it works is you have the tool you want to add a texture to. You have the cylinder. You put that in your lathe, and it gets spun around. And then you take your knurling tool, which is a disc that has grooves cut into it, and you press it into the surface until it basically leaves an imprint in the metal surface. I did a bunch of these on my Ecto goggles, and it has a couple of different textures. Yeah. There's a straight knurl. There's also a diamond knurl. There's a bunch of different patterns you can do.
Jeez, it feels like you're limited by the width of your knurl. And how do you make sure that as you go up and down that rod, that the knurls line up, right?
Right.
Because, like, it feels like you could accidentally offset your...
You are your, correct. Yeah. So there are different size... The disc in the knurling tool, there are different sized ones. So you can have different scale of texture on there. And then as far as getting it to line up perfectly... Little bit of trial and error to get that to work correctly.
I mean, is there a trick in the end, or is every single time you try this trial and error?
A little bit of a trick. You kind of have to get the diameter kind of close. But really what I found is you got to mash the tool in there so that it starts forming the grooves correctly. You really have to use a lot more force than you think to press it in there.
So it's a lot it's like gears almost by the time you're
And a lot of experimenting too.
Sure.
Like I said, though, I'm still learning. I still have a lot to learn about this process, but it is very cool.
This knob that you made is gorgeous. Like,
right?
I feel like I'm looking at a Techniques turntable knob. Like, it's so...
It is, I guess, so that's how they make these, either industrially
manufactured
or...
and cool looking.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
really good. It feels really good to add that kind of detail to a piece.
Yeah,
the sort of thing they would do in a factory.
Yeah.
Look at this! And now you've got like an angled knurl. Oh, and it's doing like the cross hatching.
Right.
Oh,
that's so cool. It has two different wheels on it that spin in opposite directions to cut the diamond pattern in two different directions. Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, dude, this is so cool.
So is this how this always is done? I mean, I've used lots of knobs where they had this texture on it. I always assumed a robot did this. Maybe it did. I don't know.
Sure. There are
little Pakistani children with the box cutters that were...
I don't know. It's hard to say, but yeah. So anyway.
So any machined knobs are going to be done this way, even with an automated, like, turret lathe. This could all be automated. But the knobs on your mixer are probably cast plastic. The original was probably made like this, and then they cast the parts in plastic.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I never even thought of this before. Mine's knurled to hell and back, this mixer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're gonna walk around everywhere and see knurls everywhere.
I mean, if it's plastic knobs, you're probably just dealing with a mold. But if it's metal knobs, then for sure, you're looking at...
Knurl, I swear, knurls is something somebody has used in some fantasy or cartoon or kid context. Like, there's a creature called a knurl or something. Don't know why this is driving me crazy.
There's a D&D monster called a knurl, isn't there?
Oh, that might be what I'm thinking of. Not a knurl, but like a gnarl. Gnarl?
Narwhal.
Narwhal.
I don't know.
I freaking don't know. It's going to bug me all day, though. Wow. This stuff looks like pro, dude. Well, that's what you are.
Yeah, it really does.
Pro, so. Man. I don't know why I'm saying it looks like a pro. You are a pro. What am I saying?
You're a pro.
This is very cool. Any other application? Tell me what this metal is. What are we using? Like,
most of this is aluminum in this video, but I've been working a lot with brass. You can do the same thing. And it'll do brass or steel.
Work. Okay. I was wondering
if you have to do anything to soften, like heat up the metal to make it more pliable, or
you can. It doesn't seem like it's super necessary for this, but you can heat up the metal to anneal it. Aluminum and brass could both be annealed that way, but it didn't seem necessary for this.
And there's nothing that's pre-knurled the way you need it, because you're making a replica of a thing where you it matters that you're duplicating the exactness of the prop, right?
Like, right. I got to make the knob the right diameter first and then add the knurls.
Gotcha. Yeah. You can't go to a hardware store and go, yeah, I need a 4/8 inch a freaking knurl.
No.
they're not going to be able to give you what you need. Okay.
No, they're not. And this is not the sort of thing you're going to buy at Home Depot either. This is more of a specialty project or a tool.
Oh, that's it. Bobby's right. Sorry. It's that the cat Garfield, the other cat in Garfield is Nermal. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's exactly it.
It's Nermal. Oh, my Lord. Now I can rest easy. Anyway, this is really rad, dude. Super, super cool. I love it.
Oh, I feel bad for Bobby, who's going to have to follow this.
Yeah, like, I know, right?
What science magic is he going to have to come up with?
Right. Something neural-like, maybe, Bobby. Think about it there, bud. Anyway, very cool. And is this a project you've already done, or is this one you're working on? I think you already did this one, right?
Yeah, that's the Ecto goggles. There's a few knobs on that got knurled, but my Hellboy bullet has some knurls on it, and some projects coming up. Well, for sure, because I'm just excited to add knurls to everything.
Well, now you're a knurl pro.
When you have a brand new hammer, everything looks like a nail.
So. Sure does. Yeah. The other cool, fun thing too is, like, now that if you didn't know what knurling is, now you know the vocab. I find that when it comes to making and tools, once you know the vocab, it becomes a lot easier to find information about it, because you can go Google it and look it up.
Yeah, it's like MMO talk. It's like LFG and I can't think of anything else. Tank and tank DPS. Like, none of these make sense to normal people until you are in the world, and now you know how to search it. Now you can search that stuff. That makes sense. I get that. Oh, that was look there at that thing. Looks like a wiener. Anyway. Hey,
dude. I'm at the point of the video too.
I don't like it.
Oh, I'll be in my bunk.
I don't like this part. All right, hey Bill, tell it. You got a little bonus something today?
Sure do. My friend Paige, who used to work for us, has gone on to start her own thing. She does a lot of leather working. And she put out a great tutorial on making a leather pouch, a very good basic leather working project. Her YouTube channel is called Redbird Makes, if you want to go give her a follow. And this is a very thorough pouch tutorial, the sort of thing you'd put on almost any costume. So,
that's cool. Very cool. I didn't know she used to do stuff for you. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paige worked for us for 3 years, I think.
Oh my gosh, that's 3 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go check that out. Again, that's Redbird Makes, and of course, punishprops.com and the Punish Props YouTube channel. Bill, have a fantastic week. It's great to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you too, Scott. Take it easy.
Bye, Bill. Bye. Okay. That was maybe more formal than I intended. Whatever. Yeah. All right. Speaking of Bobby, let's get him in here. Let's get some science on the board. We're required to have so much science, percentage of science content every week, and we missed it last week.
Yeah, exactly. If we don't hit that quota, we're in real doo-doo.
Yep, so now's the time.
Science.
That's right. It's science with Bobby. Oh, he was here, and then he hung up.
Oh.
Nope, he's back.
The science of vanishing Bobby.
And now he's back, everybody. He has not vanished. He is with us. Bobby Frankenberger, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. I did that thing where I started a call with I don't know who.
Oh, that happens. So. I feel you. That's happened to me many times. Do not worry. Hey, you did a great job last week while Brian was out, so thanks for that.
Oh, man, thanks. I had a blast. I don't know if I've ever told either of you this, but it's always been sort of a... Like, I always wanted to do a daily sort of morning show as well, and I tried partly with the old thing I did, the Shadowcasters Network, and that never worked out, so it's a format that I super love. So
yeah, it's but now that you've done it, are you like, oh man, dodge that bullet? I don't have to do that.
No, I was jazzed afterwards. Like just the energy of the content and the format is really what I like so much about it.
I mean, it's such a commitment. You know, it's fun for the first couple of years,
right.
And all of a sudden,
it's definitely.
Oh,
I'm definitely
have to get
in
up to make the donuts.
Definitely in an easy position to say how much I love it because I don't have to do it every morning.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but I feel you on the point of like the energy of it and the structure. Like is the part of the reason I even approached it in the first place was like I want to make this thing that is already a thing somewhat on radio, but I hate how it's going. I hate where it's headed, but I like this energy, and I want to make something like that. So you're speaking where my head was at in 2011.
But also doing a show where you're just kind of getting to be you, you know, yeah. and I know you're you on other things, but when you're doing stuff like, you know, Core or, you know, one of your other shows, you still have a purpose, a direction, and you kind of want to stay in that lane.
Yeah.
But, you know, a show like a daily talk show where you're just existing.
Yeah.
And also, I like the structure of it as well because I'm very structured in the way that I like to produce things.
Yeah, you're a structured guy. Very structured.
I'm sending you a picture in the thing. I played around with that...
Oh, Dally.
Scott yeah. Johnson eating tacos at an Office Depot parking lot. Who is this guy? This is not me.
It's a bunch of Scott Johnsons.
Yeah, different dude than me. But yeah, this has been the problem. Yeah. I did one that said Scott Johnson drawing or something. And it found, it basically did pencil drawings of all nine of these. And none of them looked like me, but one vaguely kind of had my face a little bit. So this is the problem you run into. If you're not really truly internet famous, these combos are going to be weird. But if you
know what I really like about this compilation though is that the AI behind it has done some sort of determination that if a person is eating tacos in an Office Depot parking lot, they've all got to be big, heavy set dudes. You know, like,
and they're almost all in parking garages too,
but the heavy set part, that's interesting. Yeah. Because what that is that's, and they have a biases link. You can look and see what some of the biases are. But there's bias in AI, whether we want to acknowledge this or not. We probably should acknowledge it because it's important. But there's biases in there, whether we know we've injected them in there or not. Because at the end of the day, as smart as you make it, it's still people building it, subconsciously inserting things without even knowing you're doing it. And there it is. Well, if he's eating tacos in a parking lot, this must be a big fat guy in the parking lot.
Yeah, there are no thin guys in this collage of pictures. Yeah.
Well, top right is the thinnest, like, but he's still got a little bit of an overhang.
And he is double-handing it, dude. Double-fisting that.
Yes, double-fisting. Some of these people are in an office, too. I just realized that it's not all parking garages. It's like, but some of them are in an office with cars parked in it.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts. Nuts. Yeah, I love it. Well, unfortunately, it's nothing like the real thing. The real thing happened in an outdoor parking lot of maybe you have to just add the Office Max part. Maybe this would have solved everything. I don't know. And that'd be actual photos, the surveillance photos of me eating tacos. That'd be great.
I really hope that somewhere in your head as you were doing it, the voice of David Thewlis was in there going, oh, aren't you just a silly piggy eating your tacos in a parking lot? Shove them down, piggy, with your tacos.
Oh, man. Remember when he made him drink out of his pee cup? Do you remember that scene? That was rough, dude. I still think about season 3 a lot. Season 3 is a hell of a
totally
thing.
Yeah, totally was, yeah.
Anyway, well, Bobby, you've brought some science, I assume, today.
Yeah.
Tell us what you got. What are we doing?
Speaking of neural, you know, you were invoking that a moment ago. It is kind of neural because I wanted to talk about optical illusions.
Oh, all right.
Ooh,
have you guys seen going around, there's this
It's a dress, and I know it's blue and
green right, needle. Exactly. Green needle. Got it.
There's a new one going around. It's called the black hole illusion. Have you seen this?
No.
I don't think I have.
Look it up now.
All right, let me send you a link to it. It's a New York Times thing, so I... God, man.
I know, okay,
I'm going
to
Google black... You could probably Google black hole illusion.
I found it. Okay. Scientists explain the new black hole optical illusion, why it's so trippy. Okay, so I'm looking at it now.
Right.
Oh, there it is right there. Okay.
So look at it and tell me.
It looks like it's growing, even though.
Yeah, it looks like you should be like almost getting sucked into it. And if you look at it, it looks like it's growing, or you're getting closer, you're falling into it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's weirded me out.
What's great about this illusion is that, like many optical illusions, knowing how it works. And for the chat who's watching, that's not the black hole illusion that's on the screen right now.
Oh, it's not?
But it is. No, it's not.
This is what it said. Okay, wait. So which one do you guys have? Do you have a link? Did you put
I have one that's dots. That's
It should be like a big hole with a sort of stippled looking around the edge.
Oh, okay. Popular Mechanics has it.
I can send you an image.
Why is... I hate this. Hold on.
Here, I put it in the Discord.
The Discord. Oh, yeah, this is totally different than what I had. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm bringing this up.
So, if you look at it, what's great about this illusion and what's great about many optical illusions is that knowing what's happening or knowing all about it doesn't make it not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? And it's because it's optical illusions are being... You know, they're somehow affected by how your brain works and the limitations of your brain. So optical illusions in general, so your eyes can only, you see the world because light comes into your eyes, and your eyes can only send that information that it's receiving to your brain in a limited number of ways.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Our brains are what are actually telling us what we're seeing. Because your brain, in different parts of your brain, are doing the interpretation and the actual perception of the image, but your eyes are, it's all based on the information that your eyes are sending to your brain. But your brain is just got these rods and cones, and it's just sending stimulation to the rods and cones in your eyes to your brain, and your brain has to do all the work. But the thing is, your brain, there could be ambiguous pieces of information in those signals that your brain, your eyes are sending to your brain, and your brain hates ambiguity.
Yeah. It wants accuracy. That's what it's looking for.
Yeah, it wants to understand everything, whether you like it or not. It will try as hard as it can to make sense of all this information that's coming in. And sometimes when your brain gets confused, it has to make its best guess at what's going on.
So this one I just put up on stream, this is not the same, but it's the principle's the same. If you stare, if you look at the dots as they disappear and come back, these pink dots, it's just blank when they're gone in the space that they're not no longer inhabiting. It's just blank on this gray background. But if you stare at that plus in the middle, the disappearing spaces become green.
Yes, yes, right.
And it works every time, even though I know it isn't green. My brain's like, no, it's green. I can tell it's green.
And so, that's a really interesting one, because these different types of color illusions that you have, where you have negative colors that pop up and everything, those are happening because it's taking advantage of just a neural pathway in your brain where color information is sent to a part of your brain that processes that information. And a lot of that information is based on how closely related two colors are and if they're sitting right next to each other, because your brain has to make quick calculations based on those colors. And so it can make mistakes.
Sure.
And so your brain has to make all these guesses all the time. And the guesses are based on past experience. Sometimes the wiring of the neurology, and also based on your memories and stuff like that. Depth perception is a really good example of this. If you have two types of depth perception. You have binocular depth perception that uses both of your eyes. That's for stuff that's close to your face, the difference between the images. It's what makes VR work, because your brain is calculating the differences between the images that your two eyes are seeing. But anything that's beyond, say, an arm's length in front of you are called is monocular depth perception. It uses different depth cues, and all of those are based on your past experience of things. If you look far, if you look at something far away, if an image, if something appears to be obstructed by something else, if you see a building with a tree in front of it, if it looks like the building is behind the tree because it's being blocked by part of the tree, then your brain is going to tell you that that building is farther away than the tree.
Oh, right. It reminds me of that car one. There's a famous one where there's three identical cars parked on the same street, but because of the perspective, oh, here it is right here, the perspective of the street, the car way up in front right. looks much larger, and the middle one looks like middle size, and the one in the rear looks the same. But if you Photoshop out the background, they're the same exact size. But my brain won't let me. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
They all look different to me. But clearly.
Yeah, I'm using my fingers to compare them right now. And you're right. They're the same. But I cannot convince my brain while I'm looking at it that top car is small, is the same size as the bottom.
Yeah, right? Which is nuts. Like, that's just a wild freaking. Here, chat, you can see the end result, which is you Photoshop it out. And then look, they're all. That's all the same car. In fact, they're not even there. They're Photoshopped into the image to begin with, but they're exactly the same size. They just don't look like it.
And even the Photoshopped one, the one that's farther away still looks a little bit bigger, and it's because of you're seeing obstruction. Each car is the one in front of it is obstructing the next one. So right. Your brain is saying, oh, those should be, like, if this one is in front of the other one, then that one should be bigger. If it's sort of appearing the same size, it must actually be bigger in order to be. It's like such a complicated circuit, right?
Yeah.
It's wild. So the black hole illusion. Mm-hmm. To get back to that cool illusion.
Yeah.
Is that's why it's working. It's taking advantage of some of these shortcuts that your brain uses to help you operate in everyday life, because specifically what this illusion they think is going on in this illusion is the sort of heuristics and shortcuts that your brain uses to function in a world where things are moving. So you may know that from the moment light hits your eye to when you actually perceive it, there's about 100 milliseconds of lag. Mm-hmm. It takes some time for your brain to perceive the information that hits your retina. And 100 milliseconds, that's less than a second. It seems fast, but when you're like got something like a baseball flying at your face or you're driving a car, that's 100 milliseconds is a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah.
But your brain gives you the false perception that everything's happening, or it, in order to compensate for that lag, what it does is it takes in a lot of information and makes some assumptions about what's likely to happen next, and it tells you this is probably what's happening right now, even though you don't quite have the information yet. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So, but it reminds me, though. I mean, it's a good reminder that historically this F's with people. Like,
yeah,
you see something happen in the sky, and now we have a perfectly reasonable, cogent sort of description of scientifically what's happening in the sky. But when you see this phenomena as a cave person, you can only ascribe it to something magical, right? Because you just don't know, because your brain won't let you see what's really happening. You're just seeing whatever the illusion is of what's happening. And I think that's another good reason why this stuff's fun to study, because it also can just change our...
I love optical illusions and sensory illusions in general, because it doesn't just work with sight, is because it really, to me, is a very strong, humbling reminder of what you're talking about. You hear all the time, people claim to be experts in a particular realm, and so that gives them the veracity to make the statements that they're making. Like, when you talk about UFOs all the time, it's easy to say, like, oh, the average Joe on the ground sees something weird in the sky. Well, they just, their brain was messing with them, and they misperceived something, so they're not seeing a UFO. But when a pilot tells you, I'm experienced and I know what I'm seeing and I saw something weird in space, then it becomes harder. Like, then you start to think, well, they know what they're talking about. But you got to remember that it doesn't matter. You can look at these optical illusions and know.
You know how they work.
Yeah. Know exactly how they work, and it still fools you.
Yeah.
It's still the perception is different, and it's so you. It's very humbling to remember you are your brain, your reality that you are experiencing every day is what like neurologists and everything will call a constructed reality. Your perception of reality is a constructed reality by your brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything you're seeing is not literally what your senses are perceiving. It's what your brain has interpreted that all your senses together.
But the advantage we have is that we are this one species that I'm aware of who can reason through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Can see the thing that is fooling us. Like you do it with a dog and they see like a, you know, I take a fake moose head that hangs on the wall and aim it at the dog. The dogs go, it's a threat. It's a moose. I need to kill it or bark or run,
right.
You know.
Right, right.
They don't have a way to stop for a minute and go, oh, weird. That looked like a real moose. Anyway, and move on with their lives. They don't do that.
Right. Right.
But we
and
do.
So to get back to the black hole illusion specifically, I said it had to do with this was an illusion that was created by scientists to take advantage of this lag time compensation that your brain does. So what it's doing is when you're looking at the hole, the sort of like dots all around the outside, and I really encourage anybody who's listening at home to, again, Google black hole illusion. You'll see a big black hole that starts to fade out around the edges, and then there's also this like stippling like a bunch of dots all around on the outside too. And what it's doing is it's sort of mimicking the smear and blur around your perception of when you're moving forward.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's what it was designed to do, is to sort of trick your brain into thinking that the edges look like you're moving forward. And so the black hole that you stare out appears to be growing because your brain is telling you, oh, you're moving forward now. So in order to compensate for this 100 millisecond lag time, we need to appropriately and accurately make the size of this hole that's in front of you get bigger so that you will be able to accurately gauge how close you're getting, right?
Yeah.
Here's a really cool, really fascinating part about this illusion. They did a study about this. This is why it's in the news, actually. They did a study tracking people's eyes while they look at this illusion and measuring their pupillary dilation, how their pupils dilate. And they found that not only when people look at this illusion do their pupils dilate, but the more intensely you experience the illusion, the more your pupils dilate.
Mm.
And the reason that's fascinating is because it implies that what your brain is doing is not only giving you the perception that you're about to enter a dark hole by making it look like it's getting closer, but it's preparing your eyes to be inside darkness.
Oh, weird.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Weird.
By dilating so that you will be able to, once you get there, see better.
How do people... Ooh, there's an illusion. My hand looks closer to the screen. Makes me look like I have a big hand. How starting to get all trippy here. Who sits down and comes up with this, though? That's the part that blows me away, because nobody... No, this isn't a natural forming phenomena. Suddenly there's like a bunch of stippled dots and a hole that looks like it's moving. And we went, oh, what's this? And we study it. Somebody had to think of this or see something similar and go, well, what right. if we added blah? Like, that's what blows me away. I'm looking at a page, this thing called Flex Your Brain, this website, and they've got like hundreds of these. And I'm just like, well, who did this? Who's sitting around coming up with this? I don't get it. It blows my mind.
There's another one called the Asahi illusion.
Yeah.
That is older, that looks like a sunlight. I just put that in the
That's
chat
another
here,
move forward, move back one. If you move forward into it, it gets really bright. You pull back, it goes
no,
dark.
No, so what this one does is it gives you the illusion that the center of this image is brighter than the white on the surrounding the image, even though it's the same. And it's because it's designed to look like sunlight shining through leaves or through a cloud or something like that.
Yeah.
And so the opposite happens here. They measure people's pupil dilation, and when you look at this, your pupils constrict, because your brain thinks you're looking at the bright sun, even though the white in the center of the image is exactly the same as the white of the paper or website that you're.
It's a static image. If you do this thing though, where you go toward it and then away from it and then toward it again, that is a trip. That one.
Oh, that does. I just did that, and it kind of like.
It's
almost
like it's getting brighter
and brightens. Yeah,
that makes no effing sense.
So optical illusions, it happens auditorially as well. Different kinds of illusions, even tactile illusions. It's just your brain trying to make sense of perception. There's famous auditory illusions. My favorite is the auditory ones are really cool because you can hijack your brain. Part of this perception loop has to do with your memories, because your brain needs to know how has this happened in the past, and that's going to impact how you interpret it. So like a visual example is when you know that image of the beautiful woman versus the witch,
mm-hmm. the old lady, the hag. Yeah.
Yeah. And once you see one of them, it's hard to see the other one. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it's kind of like this. I have this file. So here's an auditory version. I have this file that is supposed to be the Gettysburg Address as read by Morgan Freeman. However,
yeah.
Here's how it sounds when I add just a little tweak. Listen to this.
Peenum.
Okay.
See, that sounds like Brian saying peenum.
Wow.
Peenum.
Wow, it's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
And you just plays with your mind, man.
No, you can't convince me that that's not you saying peenum.
Peenum.
Yeah, that's you saying. I hear it.
No, now that's all I can hear is me saying peenum.
So there's another good example.
A good example, you know, the Batman pooping snakes, famous one.
Oh yeah. We have that. Let's play it
it's
for people.
It's so hard to. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, pooping snakes. Hold on,
it's my favorite one.
It's pretty great. Okay, here it is, right here.
Take the Batman pooping snakes.
Keith, think of Batman pooping snakes.
That's all I've got. Right. That's all I can hear now. Yeah.
So you can't hear anything else. But if I tell you, and get ready to play it again, if I tell you that what it's actually saying is take the path that moonbeams make.
Okay, now let's
you
play.
You should
it.
Be able to hear that now. Take the path that moonbeams make.
Take the path that moonbeams make.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally hear it.
And it's because it has to do with that memory loop. Oh, now I have new information in order to process it. So all
Yanni
that kind of stuff.
And Green Needle and
exactly.
Brainstorm
The last thing I'll say that has to do with this, there's actually you can take home a piece of information about this that will improve your life. Which is when I learned all this, I figured out. Have you ever had those sound machines that play white noise in your bedroom when you're trying to go to sleep?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We still have one. Tina uses it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're laying there and the sound machine seems to be making a repetitive noise that you just can't get out of your head? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Set the house on fire. House on fire.
Yeah. I don't know how you resisted it for so long, Brian. It's
but
impressive.
Sometimes it'll like make a like... or anything like that, right?
You start hearing a pattern or a... Yeah.
I do this with some video games where there's enough repetitiveness to a certain aspect. Let's say it's your character's footsteps. And if there isn't a lot of variety, I start to hear that. I'll hear like tick, 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 and it annoys me, and I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Amy in the chat, Red Fraggle, is saying, yes, it plays music. That's what happens to me. I'll sometimes hear a tune in it, and then and it's repetitive, and I can't get it out of my head. It does the opposite of what it's supposed to do, which is help me go to sleep, and it just distracts me. But it's not there. Yeah. And the way you know it's not there is because it's white noise. It's static. It's all completely random frequencies, right?
Yeah.
So the reason it's happening is a similar mess up in your brain. Your brain is trying to get rid of that ambiguity and make sense of this random stimulation. So it puts something in there that creates a pattern. So what you can do, and it has to do with sound waves all reaching your ear in a particular wave, interference patterns happening in a certain way, bouncing off of the walls, and they all collide on your ears in the location where your head is in a particular way. And I've reliably been able to fix it by literally, if I just move my head over a couple inches
it changes.
On the pillow, because the sounds now the way they're bouncing off the walls, it's different in that location. It goes away.
Huh.
And it's because now your brain is hearing a slightly different version of the same sound, it's no longer engaged in that feedback loop of reinforcing this sound that you hear. It works for me. I've told it to other people, and it seems to work for them. So maybe give it a try.
All right. How about this one? Help me with this one. He says, "Don't let nobody pick your bum."
Yeah, I never. Like, exactly. That's another great example because I never heard that until I heard you say that. Now that's all I hear.
Yeah. Now, you know, like wrapped up like a douche and all those things. Like,
yeah.
In this case, I don't actually know what Ocasek is singing. I don't know what the words are.
I used to know, but I don't anymore.
Don't let nobody
pick your fun. I think pick your fun.
Pick your fun. Hold on. I'm hearing bum.
I still hear pick your bum.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Anyway.
Hold on. I gotta.
Yeah, we can find out. It's not like this doesn't exist somewhere. But... So Brian will look that up. In the meantime, Bobby, I love this kind of stuff. And more like this on all sorts of scientific topics are covered on All Around Science, your awesome podcast. Yeah. Tell people where to get it and what you're talking about this week.
That's right. It's All Around Science. Just search for it. You'll get it. And we've got a website and we're on all the podcast places. This, speaking of senses and sensory input, we just did an episode that came out yesterday all about your senses, but not, as I like to call them, the five senses on your face. We're not talking about the five senses on your face that you're already really familiar with. We talk about a lot of the other senses that you have that nobody don't get as much press, don't get as much attention, like proprioception or nociception or stuff like that.
Whoa, that's crazy. Okay, you know what? I want to play one more auditory tone thing, okay? Just because I found it and I was trying to find it and I found it. So this is Shepherd's Ascending Tones. You've probably heard of this.
This is a good one.
Yeah. So this is, if you loop this seamlessly.
Oh, right. It sounds like it continues to keep going up.
Like it never ends. So I've seen some pretty good TikTok videos where they use this to a great degree, where it adds to the illusion that the video is also not looping because it feels like the music is making it more eternal or whatever. But it sounds like this. Here we go. So this is one form of it. I've heard the ones that were like, meep, 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 but this is like that. So this is only a single second loop.
Yeah.
Repeating over and over. But in our heads,
that's amazing.
Yeah, just descending.
That's an amazing effect.
And it's insane.
And it's super simple the way they construct it. It's just overlapping sine waves that are about an octave apart, and they do increase the bass frequency over time, but like you said, only for 1 second. And so each individual second of that loop is exactly the same, but it again, because when it loops, once the loop happens, because those frequencies line up in a particular way, your brain thinks, oh, well, it's increasing, so it must be continuing to increase, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fascinating one.
Freaking wild. I love this stuff. Yeah. All right, well, check all that out. Bobby, it's always a, as my dad would say, pleasure to talk to you today. And my hope is that we'll get to see you next week at this very same time and channel. Have a good one in the meantime.
Too.
Yeah. And, I was going to say one other thing to you, and it was what? It was goodbye. I can't remember. I don't know. I did have a thing I was going to ask him.
That was on, oh, was it really?
Yeah, by the way, I just don't remember the hell it was. Yeah. For the life of me.
It is don't let nobody pick your fun, by the way.
Pick your fun. So it is fun.
It's just with a Boston accent, you know. Pick your phone.
He says it terribly.
He does. He really does. I mean, poor Rick Ocasek.
Ocasek. He's not with us anymore, right?
Didn't he die? He's no longer with us. We passed away a few years ago, yeah.
But his ex-wife, Hottie McBaby Pants, what's her name?
Paulina Poroskova.
Her. Is she still around? She got things going on.
She is. She was on some Lost in the Jungle reality show or something recently.
Well, all right. I'm glad she was able to continue on.
Yes, she was able to. She found a way.
She didn't let anyone pick her fun. So Or her bum, as far as I know. quick email here. We got an email. I keep meaning to play this.
Send and receive email.
If, it's themorningstream@gmail.com is where these come to. CBennett360 wrote in and says, hey, Scoot and Boot, I have a little story that relates to one of your comments on a recent TMS. I used to work for a now defunct retail store, Think Blue Light Special. I wonder who that is, Brian.
Wonder which one they could be talking about.
Ooh. Weird. Says I was a department manager and was closing one night when one man with one leg rolled in with his wheelchair. He was shopping shoes and found a pair that he liked. He let me know that these were the ones that he wanted and wanted to ask me if he would have to pay full price since he was only going to be wearing one of the shoes because he's missing a leg. I was in a wheeling and dealing mood and decided to give him the shoes for half off in considering his circumstances. He was very appreciative and thanked me, telling me no one had ever gone that far for him before. I told him no problem. I would just return the remaining shoe to the manufacturer as defective, so it worked out for everyone. Your comment about Target fingernail painting robot and the missing finger reminded me of this story. Thanks for all the laughs. Some days TMS or core are all I have to look forward to. Glad Brian is feeling better. Keep up the great work. CBennett360. Well, thank you, C. Bennett. That's very nice of you to say those things, but also that's a great story, and I think you did the right thing. I hope you didn't get in trouble.
It's very nice of you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a good way to do it, right? Just return the other shoe. Okay, defective. All right, nothing we can do.
Yep, that's what I say. Man, Tally's in a bad mood today. Tally, what's the matter? You all right in there? Look at the chat. Look at Tally.
I see what she put.
Are you okay? Oh, that was a nice uplifting story, Tally. Come on now. Life is good. Let's all kiss and make
up. Is there a new EA game called Life? Maybe that's what she means. Is that what's going on?
That's what she's up to. It's some EA game just announced. F that game. All right.
Something a little bit happier is that the brand new breakfast tea, the Morning Phaser Test, ooh, which is an Earl Grey, is available now if you go to phoenixpearltea.com/TMS. Not only will you see a way to buy this delicious, and Scott and I have had it, we love it, this delicious tea, but also you'll get a few little TMS Easter eggs in the description.
This is great.
This is an Earl Grey tea with extra bergamot and a rich floral flavor, and it is excellent. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
It really is good. It even says at the bottom, we promise it won't be too much hassle, it says at the end.
Not too much hassle. That's By the way, I did enter Too Early for a Fish Sandwich into Dall-E Mini.
Yeah.
And I'll share the results with you. It's kind of disappointing.
Actually. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I was really hoping for something better, but here's what we got for Too Early for a Fish Sandwich.
I did. I'll show everybody. Also, chat, you can see this one. I did a Captain America doing a very sexy dance. It's not that sexy. It's okay. It's. I mean, it depends on your definition of sexy. Maybe this is sexy.
Yeah.
And I've just lost track of that. Let me see Brian's here real quick. Oh, those are just a bunch of...
It's just a bunch of fish sandwiches.
Pretty well-rendered sandwiches, though.
You can tell they're AI created, but they look really good. Some of them have some weird lettuce going on, but
that reminds me, there's a TikTok channel that does nothing but AI images that are too blurry. Yeah. There's some AI stuff that will go and try to sharpen it all up, right? Yeah. So kind of the zoom and enhance is finally actually starting to look like it might happen.
Sure.
And one of them was Spice Girls. And what he does in this video is he'll play Spice Girls music and then take a blurry photo of the Spice Girls. And from far away, you'll see that it's blurry and then a little wave goes past and you see it all sharpen. And from there, it looks good. You're like, oh, that looks awesome. Yeah. That looks like the Spice Girls. But then they zoom into each face and do it again.
Yeah.
Monstrosities.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's so bad. Like, Baby Spice got like three eyes and Grumpy Spice, whatever her name was, she's got like her eyes down here on her cheek and her mouth goes up to her ear and it's just bad.
Oh my God. Yeah. Your Captain America, by the way, I like how you called him Captain American.
Oh shit. I didn't mean to do that as a typo.
I don't think that affected your results. What's going on in the middle photo?
I don't know. It's the sexiest dance. Because that's a wiener cover. I don't know what that is.
it's like he's figured out a new place to wear his shield.
Yeah. Hubba hubba. Yeah, right out front where you need it. The one next to it on the right is also giving me the willies.
I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. The microwaved Captain America action figure.
They're all pretty nuts. I don't know about this future we're entering, dude. It's a weird.
I don't know. It's a.
It's
dark, dark, scary place.
It's a scary place, and I'm here. I guess I'm here for it. Why not?
Yes. So go get your tea from phoenixpearltea.com/TMS.
That's right. Also, if you're feeling in a very supportive mood, good news, you can do that at patreon.com/TMS. And lots of reasons to do that. Go read about it there. And also check out our website, frogpants.com/TMS. That is it. We're out of here. Let's play some music. What do you have?
I have a delicious, funny, fresh potato chip is what I have.
Nice.
I also have a request from Will B., who says, hello, Scoot and Boot. My loving wife, Jackie, is turning 37 on June 13th, and I would love for you to play something of Brian's choosing for her special day. She is endlessly supportive, loving, and a great mother. Did you see that, too?
Yeah. Everything about the previous presentation was gold. That was all good. I have no complaints. Nothing to complain.
Eat a chip and then watch said chip fly out of my mouth, ricochet off my microphone.
Can somebody please? Can we get a clip?
Somebody's going to clip that. I
want that so bad. All right. Anyway,
this is why you don't eat and podcast, people.
Yep, right there. Reason number 428. Right there. Yep.
Oh, jeez. All right. I look forward to what the future has to bring, and I am so glad that I have her to navigate life with. Thanks for all that you guys do. Love the show, though. Will, P.S. Can I get a Daryl Skeels saying what 5 times in a row, please?
Oh, hell yeah. I keep trying to get Daryl to come on and just do a, like, even a one-off, hey, what do you think of all this new Star Trek stuff? Dude won't answer me. Here it is. Okay, you want it 5 times? Is that what I heard?
5 times super fast, yes.
Okay, this is as fast as I can do it.
What?
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I wish I could do it, but I'm not set up for it, so.
By the way, here's Dali with Let's Test the Ship's Phasers, and it's...
Is it good?
It's amusing, and I'm not sure what it's coming up with here. Oh, why didn't it... processing. There we go.
Okay, let's take a look. Oh, there's a...
We start off with a phaser.
It's just a straight-up phaser.
And then a bunch of ships with, like, push pins and...
Yeah, what the heck?
I don't know what it's... What? Stuck into these weird ships. I don't know what's going on here.
Test the ship's phasers, push pin looking things. That bottom one, I don't know what to make out of almost all of that except for the top left one.
I just put a link in the chat, Jeannie. It's that huggingface.co/spaces/dally-mini. But that link right there.
Just search for Dally, Dal, D-A-L-L-E. It'll come right up.
All right, so anyway. Back to the request. Will B said, you know, anything. He trusts my discretion, and I've got a brand new cover that rocks. This is by the band All Time Low. They just released this, and it is so, so good. It's a cover of The Weeknd. Here is All Time Low and Blinding Lights.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, we got recommendals and all the other normal stuff we do on Wednesdays. Tom will be here, all the fun Wednesday stuff, so come back for that.
Nicole will be here, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think we got Nicole back. We were going to do it last week, but with you out, I just felt weird, so we didn't do it. But we're going to do it tomorrow for sure, and that'll be fun. What else? Play Retro tonight. Check that out, 3:30 Mountain Time. Me and Brian Dunaway talking about all these fancy little mini consoles that keep coming out. What does the future of that hold? Will we get a Dreamcast Mini one day? One can hope. I don't know. We'll find out. All right, that's it. Thank you all for listening. I feel like I had something else to say, but I don't. So that's it. We'll see you guys mañana.
Show me how to love, man.
sun light up the sky. So I hit the road and overdrive, baby.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Free love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds travel shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.